Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
I've got my coffee. It's going to be a good morning. We're going to record. I've been drinking a lot of decaf coffee. And if you're somebody who literally grew up loving lattes, like going to Starbucks, also can't even believe I drank a Frappuccino. I'm turning in such an adult. I'm like, anything sweet, I'm like nasty. I don't know why. Don't even like Halloween candy. Like, yes, I love a Butterfingers. Don't get me wrong. But something happened to my taste buds. I don't know what it is, but I can't do sweet anymore. Like even sometimes I'll get a latte and I'm like, whoa. And usually... Even flashback like 2 years ago when I would get a latte with my grandma every time we hung out, we'd literally get Breve milk, which is like half and half, and then like extra pumps of sugar-free vanilla. I don't know how I drank that. I really don't. Hold on. Coffee break. That's good.
Very good.
What are we talking about today? Welcome. Welcome back, by the way, episode 4. I can't believe we're doing it. It's a Sunday morning for me. I'm just hanging out, honestly, and I don't give a shit that I didn't dress up. I combed my hair. I got out of bed. I am hyped to be here. I put on a little makeup, but we're talking about something that is near and dear to me today, like something that I struggled with so badly long ago, and honestly, yesterday and the day before that, and I feel like I was so much worse when I was growing up, and now I'm so much better, but I still catch myself doing these things that I need to be better at, and that's people-pleasing. People-pleasing is tough, especially around the holidays. Thank God for my chill family, and Jordan's really chill family too, because we have two, for instance, Thanksgiving is coming up. We've got two Thanksgivings to go to. I know a lot of people do like the trade-off Thanksgiving where like this year we're going to my house, next year we're going to his house and his family, but we don't really work like that. We would rather do half and half. And although it's a long day, it makes everybody happy. That's a long time to be like, yeah, we didn't go this year to Thanksgiving, but we'll be there next year. I don't know. It just doesn't work for us. And thank God they're chill, but like, it's a lot. Friends are coming home, trying to balance seeing everybody, you know, selfishly, this is like also my time off, my holiday, right? And it's supposed to be the time that I relax and I really don't get to relax. And that's kind of like what would be considered the selfish way of thinking. When in reality, we kind of have to reprogram our minds and remember that that's actually not really selfish of you to think like that. If you are feeling stressed, you're allowed to feel stressed, even when your friends are coming home. If you are feeling stressed and overwhelmed and overworked, you can feel those feelings even when it's a holiday. Like you don't have to always turn it on. You don't always have to pretend like I got nothing on my schedule and you're literally eye twitching because your schedule is so booked out and you feel like, oh my God, I just got done with work and I have to go do this other thing. And now I got to see friends, like take a breath for a second. It's doesn't always have to be all of those things. So anyway, let's jump in. It's all about people pleasing today. And let's learn how we can not do this anymore, how we can make changes to our lifestyle. I'm going to start with a people-pleasing write-in because it feels so fitting. And although this one isn't like labeled people-pleasing, this is a perfect situation that we can talk about and see if we think she's people-pleasing and what she should do. We planned our destination wedding and let people know a year in advance. Last week, our friends asked us to come home early from our honeymoon to attend their quote-unquote surprise wedding that they planned in a matter of weeks, .. Am I a bitch because I don't want to leave my honeymoon to fly back a few hours early? Early as in, instead of leaving the resort around 3 p.m., we have to leave at 8 a.m. This sounds like a people-pleasing situation to me. Right when I read it, I was like, oh my God, this is so fitting. Because you are feeling the irritation because you plan this. This is your time. This is your time to be away. And I feel like when I get the most irritated is when I've asked for the respect of others to be like, this is what my intentions are with this time. So like, let's say this is my podcast time. Like, you know that I'm doing my podcast right now. And then a friend is like blowing up your phone, texting you, like wanting to hang out. And you're like, I literally just told you my intentions were that I was working on this podcast. That's an example from like me right now or something like that. But it could be for anything. It could be for work. It could be for your time to work out and not respecting that time. This is like somebody obviously who's very excited for their marriage. You know, they're getting married. Their friend is. I mean, these guys are on their honeymoon and they want them to come back early. Now, if it was a day early, or 2 days early or something like that, I would be like, hell to the no, you do not need to do that. The hours, like, would you be doing so much on your last day there? No, but you probably paid for that time. And it's more the like morals of it, of like, that's my time to be with my husband. Every second I'm going to soak up of my honeymoon. So that's up to you. If you feel like it's not a priority for you, you can easily say like, I'm on my honeymoon. I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to pass. We are so sad we can't be there, but we've had this, obviously we've been planning on being married for the last like year and a half. We already knew we were going to be on our honeymoon during that time, but enjoy. Like, I don't want to take away from your day. We'll be cheering from afar. Like something like that. You know what I mean? Make the decision for yourself. Don't make the decision that people want you to make. That's the thing that I had to keep repeating to myself. I am a recovering people pleaser. I used to, and I wrote down some examples of what I used to do. I used to force myself after a long day, sitting like depressed in my room because I was feeling not very good about myself and other things and probably work at the time, to text every single person back in my phone that because I felt bad. Even though I was like between tears and needed sleep that night because I was feeling like a sickness come on, but I felt too guilty not to text people back. So I forced myself to stay up, get no sleep, and text every person back in my phone because I felt bad for not talking to them because I was busy. Like, what the heck am I doing? I would apologize at work for things that weren't my fault or mistakes that are just very normal mistakes, like a spelling error that I felt so guilty about and had to like apologize for. Or let's say you had misinformation from a boss and they had you make a PowerPoint and you're like, oh, sorry, that was the last information I had received. Instead of being like that, taking that blame on and feeling so guilty for something that you did. In air quotes, saying yes to travel and dinner when I knew I couldn't afford it and it would put me in further to no saving and having debt. This is a huge one. I think a ton of write-ins were about this one, especially being like, I have to say yes, like to that trip, that bachelorette, that dinner, that birthday dinner, that engagement party where I have to buy a gift and I don't even have money to do that. If it's putting you in a financial strain, that is not something you need to be doing or feeling bad for. And I talk about that later, so I'm not going to talk about it right now, but holy crap. Next one I wrote was like not having a power inside me to ask my friends or family or work people to Venmo me for snacks and drinks because I felt bad asking and I didn't want to like make them mad that they had to Venmo me for buying stuff. So if I went out and I'm buying like $20, $30 worth of snacks today in my current job, where I feel stable enough and I know how to like finance, I know money management a little bit better, I'd be fine not Venmoing, requesting anybody for $2.30. But back in the day in high school, in early college, in mid college, even after college, like, yeah, I was gonna Venmo you if it was $5. Like, I'm gonna Venmo request you. And I don't need to feel bad about that. Like, you don't owe anybody anything, but it's funny how we thought all these situations were totally normal and we had to take the fault for it. Like, shoot, I now can't buy all the groceries I wanted because I had bought everybody snacks for a party that I didn't really need to be at. You know what I mean? It's crazy stuff like that. Another one was, didn't tell friends when they hurt me for fear of the retaliation, and that would cause me instant anxiety anyway. So I would just like move on from it. I would just brush stuff under the rug. Like, I would be like, nope, it's fine. Doesn't matter anymore because I don't want the anxiety and the weird behavior that the retaliation that comes after this and the like dynamic that it causes for your group. So I would just honestly be like, okay, I don't care anymore. I'm going to pretend like that didn't happen. And I think a lot of us did this. Also, it comes with maturity, knowing how to handle all of that. But I think a lot of us can relate to that one. Finally, I said, say yes to everything when I didn't want to, like dates, workout classes, work that I committed to, especially when I was working in like retail, events, family things. Like, this eventually bit me in the ass because it made me look like a people pleaser. It made me look like a flake is what it made me look like. And eventually I started becoming the bad guy because I was saying yes to doing all these things because I felt bad. I wanted to be there. And then, you know, the event would roll around and let's say my friend was like, are you coming to my birthday party? And I was like, yes. Even though I knew I had my sister's birthday and like two events that night and something else. Okay. Now I'm triple booked. Now I'm at my sister's birthday because you'd obviously prioritize family, or at least in my situation, you would. And then they're texting, where are you? Or like, are you coming? And you're like, no, yeah, I'm coming. And no, I swear I'm coming. Now you're late. Now that looks even worse. You're not punctual. And now you're like, I don't know if I can even get from where I live to downtown in the next like hour. And I miss the party anyway. And now you just look like the asshole who didn't come. It's like people pleasing ends up biting you in the butt, and it does not go away until you actually face it in the face and you're like, oh my God, I am being terrible. 86% of you said you were people pleasers, which I thought was insane. I hope that we are growing out of it. I would say, I think if I had to vote for myself right now, I'd probably say I'm still in the middle. Like, I don't think I'm a full people pleaser, but I'm definitely still in the middle because I'm recovering. It gets better. As you get more mature, as you understand who you are, as you understand your roles and what you like to do and how you like to spend your time, you have a better understanding for what you like to do and a lesser tolerance for poor behavior, for things that you don't want to be doing, like spending your time on things or money on things that you don't want to spend your time and money on. So even if you maybe were a people pleaser, I think our fuses get a little bit shorter and we're like, actually, no, I don't. I have an opinion on that. And my answer is no, I don't want to go to your birthday party, or no, I don't want to spend X amount of money on this event or whatever it is that you're thinking about.
Hey, little poop nuggets. It's Candid Self. I miss you guys so much. Seriously, my poop stories just don't hit the same without you. And we know change sucks and we know it's risky, but the biggest mistake you can make is being afraid you're going to make a mistake. So we honestly just trusted our gut on this one, and we miss you. Straight Candid misses you. I miss you. So with all that being said, I want to share with you guys my new adventures. You can follow my new YouTube channel. You can type in my full name, Sophie Van Sirksom, or you can check the link in my bio to subscribe to my YouTube. And any support matters right now, seriously, because I'm currently at like negative 10 subscribers. So I would love a little support. But yeah, I plan to make some shorter form lifestyle content like vlogs, some fitness content sponsored by the Basil by Soph brand, and also some long form content where we can kind of chit chat and we can hang out throughout the day too. So I'm excited. I hope you guys support and follow. But yeah, at Candid Soph on all platforms for the time being, and Sophie Van Sirksom on YouTube. But with all that, get back to it, Sid. She's just popping in. Bye, guys.
I want to read through, because I asked everybody after I said, hey, are you a people pleaser or not? I want to read through some of the responses that I got because I related with a ton of these. Agreeing to work in person when others have refused to and get to work from home. A chameleon into what people need me to be, and I'm now going to therapy for it. Saying yes to working when I really mean no because I don't have capacity to take more on. That is so relatable. That is so relatable. Saying sorry or it's okay all the time automatically with no self-awareness or no if I mean it. This is a teacher. She says, I spend my time doing things to people please parents. That would be tough. I'm not a teacher, so I know nothing about like how, oh my God, I can't even imagine being a teacher. I was a nanny for like, how old am I? I'm 26. I started nannying when I was like 11. I'd nannied for forever. It was definitely for that time being, like I thought maybe I wouldn't have children. That's how much work it was. So any mamas out there, I respect you, and teachers especially, I respect you so, so much. You can't be doing that. It can't be people pleasing. I don't have all the info and I'm too nervous to ask for clarification. That was a huge one. The confidence at work piece. You need to ask for clarification. Clarifying questions actually will end up helping you in the end. They're going to make you look like, wow, they're thinking on the fly. Instead of taking a task, I always used to think like, oh God, they probably want me to like take it and run with it. Like, don't ask any questions. My boss, like, I got my hand slapped because I didn't ask any questions. He's like, how did you know what to do? You wouldn't even know what I was looking for. You made an assumption. And there was a test basically that he was having me do. He's like, you didn't ask any clarifying questions. You didn't know what I wanted. You didn't even know if I wanted a PowerPoint, a PDF, or whatever. And I should have asked questions, and it actually bit me in the ass. So asking clarifying questions is a good thing, especially if you can group them together instead of like having a million questions spew out of your mouth, or set up time to say, I need some clarifying questions. Here are a few of them in the meeting, by the way, pro tip, in the meeting, always add what you're going to talk about in a meeting invite. It will get more people to go to your meeting. It will make it look like the meeting is necessary, right? And then people will know if they're needed or not. When I already know how to do something, but I act like I don't so my coworkers can teach me. Thought that was really interesting. I don't know if I would act like I didn't know how to do something, but I think it's more like the hierarchy. Like her boss wanted to teach her how to do something, is if I had to guess what that was going on there. When people ask to visit and stay at my house whenever they come, this one is tough. If you have a guest bedroom and you live in a home or you have some space or a couch or whatever it is tough. If people want to come visit you, you feel like you have to say yes. Usually they're already coming to town and they're asking if they can stay with you. As a good friend, you always say yes. I think that's kind of my rule of thumb. But I remember being in situations where I could not even fathom having someone at my house. I did not have the money to have more food at my house, at my apartment, I should say. I didn't have the space. I didn't have the mental capacity to have someone come to town. Because you know when someone comes to town, you're about to turn up. You're about to turn it on. You're going to be ripping around the town. You're going to be partying probably. You should probably have something fun for them because you feel like you have to. That one is tough. This one says, mother-in-law says women should stay at home. And I nod. Rough. That one is rough. When my toxic parents cried about me moving out, so I stayed. I'm now out. I'm done. To my family, to my friends, to literally anyone I don't want to let down, which is everyone. That's how she people pleases. When my friend is being rude and I let it go so we don't have to fight, I relate to that one so much. When I accept another task at work, when I know that I don't have time for it, when I don't agree with something someone says and just to pretend to agree, I'm guilty of that too because I just feel like I want to relate to them so much. I want to like be in their shoes and relate to them and want them to know that I'm listening. So I relate, say yes and agree with them when in reality, if I took two more seconds to think about the situation, I probably wouldn't be agreeing. Pretty much we'll always go with the other person's decision on like a movie, food, any of those things. Whenever my mom is upset, I will do whatever it takes to make it an argument. Oh, just like poking at people that you love. The reason my courthouse wedding has turned into a full event to appease my mom and mother-in-law. God, the people pleasing of the wedding is just too much. I need to have a whole episode on like mother-in-laws. I'm lucky that my soon-to-be mother-in-law is amazing, but I know that there's a ton of situations where that is not the case. I find myself people-pleasing the most at work just because I want to do everything I can. And you want to be good. Oh my God. Being at work and thinking that you can do everything, I found out the hard way that putting your toes in a million things actually makes you mediocre at a lot of things versus really good at a few things. Early in your career, and this is not a career episode, but early in your career, I think you need to dive headfirst into things that scare you and a few things, not a lot of things. You do not need to own everything. You need to prove yourself at work first that you can take on a lot of tasks. One big task, maybe two big tasks. You can take direction is what I was trying to say really, really well. You can apply it. You can do the work, you can hustle, and then you can deliver a product on time that they, you know, they being your bosses, were looking for. Whether that helps them in their next steps, whether it helps them to present to their leaders, whatever it is, then you can start being creative, taking on more, maybe taking on side projects that you want to work on that you haven't worked on. That's when those things start. But until you can figure it out and you've got enough on your plate already, do not take on more tasks. Absolutely no go. Anytime I feel like I'm hurting feelings or inconveniencing someone, I feel like I'm people pleasing. Holy shit. Retweet to that. The minute you feel like you're bothering someone by asking them a question or asking them to do something like come over to your house. Or when you ask a friend to stop on like at a store on the way over to your house to like grab snacks, I feel guilty even asking that. But I know that I don't have time to do it. So I'm like, why do I feel guilty even when I would do it for any of my friends? If they asked me to do it, I would be running to the store. I wouldn't care. I would not care. I wouldn't give two craps. Doing the things I don't want to do because I know it will make other people happy. Lord have mercy. When I say to others, I'd rather not, friends, family, or coworkers, like saying no, basically. It's all of these are just basically saying no, right? When my roommates or her boyfriend are disrespectful and I would rather not pick a fight so I don't say anything. God, the roommates and the boyfriends, oh Lord. I had a roommate at one point who ended up having her boyfriend start living with us and he was a drug dealer, didn't know that. And I remember I was a people pleaser at this point. I'm living in my apartment at the U, and no one would know this person, by the way. She was not from here. And she also was like, because someone moved out, she moved in regardless. She would have her boyfriend over. She would throw parties in her bedroom. We had a 4-bedroom apartment. Okay. So if anyone knows the radius, that'll give you even more information at the U. We had a 4-bedroom apartment. My bedroom was over on the left side with hers. The other side, we had 2 other roommates, living room in the center. Not only would she eat my food, she would have parties in her room on like a Tuesday, Wednesday, honestly, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights were her like thing. Her music would be blasting in her room. I had paper thin walls. Those buildings are built like literally like little wood houses. I could hear everything. Her weed was like coming through the vents, stinking up my room. Like hey, no shade to smoking weed, but don't blow it in my vents. It was a disaster. All my products were being used in the bathroom, which at the time I didn't have any like money to buy anymore. I would see her run with her boyfriend back and forth naked to the bathroom. Like, how the hell do you think that's normal? And I remember for a while I said nothing. And finally I would come home and she would be like, "You scared me." Every time I came home, I would scare her. And I don't know why that drove me insane, but it did. It probably was all the other things, not actually that. And I was like, "Hey, can you not like eat my food? Like that bothers me that you are eating my food, because it's disappearing. And I know these guys don't eat it because they don't like that food." She would lie to my face. Like, how do you handle a situation when you have a liar? Someone literally saying to your face, "I don't know what you're talking about." It's impossible. You're like, okay. Unless you want to pick a fight right then and there, which I didn't. It's hard. But the more that you grow, the older that you get, the less you're around weird behavior, I think. Now, granted, those weird behavior people still grow up to be people, still work in the workforce, still have their friends, still ask for too much. And hopefully that's the people that you're not people pleasing with. But we can people please from just friends. And what I'm finding out from reading all of these is we all need to be better about people pleasing. This one says, "I send 5 messages and say, 'Sorry for spam. I should have just shut up right now.'" Like, I've seen my friends do that one. "When I don't 100% agree with the situation, but say I do. Friends have strong personalities and get defensive and mad easily, so I just don't say anything. When my boss says, 'Do you mind working that day?' and I wasn't supposed to work, but I always say yes." This one says, "I avoid an awkward and uncomfortable situation. When I feel like my reason for not wanting to do something isn't good enough," in quotes, that's a huge one. God, you guys, there's so many freaking write-ins. "I go to see my friends and I don't connect with anymore because I feel bad." We are growing, we are changing, we are evolving from situations and relationships. Like, if you feel like you're not relating to your friends anymore, my girls, my guys, you do not need to go. You do not need to hold on to a relationship just because you've been friends for so long. If you are changing and evolving and it's not worth your time anymore, that's okay. At that time in your life, that was a good friend or friend group or person. That was exactly maybe what you needed in that time. But if now you're like, "Actually, I don't really need all that. I don't want any of this relationship. I don't relate to you anymore. Maybe they're not your person anymore." Then get out. Get out of it. Not worth your time anymore. Not worth you sitting through a weird, awkward dinner, paying a lot of money to be there, not knowing what to talk about, feeling like you're doing a favor for somebody. You're not doing a favor for being there. Imagine if someone came to hang out with you and they only came because they felt bad. And you knew in your mind, like, "Well, we're not really similar anymore. Like, I don't really know where we're hanging out, but we are." And that person was literally just there because they felt bad not being your friend anymore. You could probably tell. You can read energy pretty well. I feel like a lot of us can, and read people's body language. But yeah, I don't be like that. I am going to say 2 more and then I'm done reading these, but I had to read all of them because I feel like all of them, if you're listening right now and you're like, "Oh my God, that is me," you are with us, my friend. You are a people pleaser at heart, and we will help you get out of it. "When I say I will stay for 1 more drink and stay longer at parties than I want to," Jordan always hears me do this one. I feel bad about that one. All right, last one. "Agreeing with others that say my child is naughty when he's really just strong-willed." That one is hard too, because when people have an opinion about your kid, I can't even imagine. I would go full on mama mode. I'd be pissed. Be like, "Don't be talking about my kids. Mm-mm, don't be talking about my kids." I had to read those because a ton of us relate to those. But before I do all of the reasons you stop people pleasing, especially in the season of like gratitude and finding time for yourself, I'm going to listen to one more. This is a listener call-in. So remember, if you ever want to call me, you can. 612-470-7569. It's my number. It's on my social media. Go find it if you need to. You can always call me and leave voicemails. That's in the US and Canada. You can text me. That's a lot of these messages were text-ins. And then if you are in the outside of the US or Canada, you can just write in my website in the advice box and I will answer all of them. I always see them. I swear to God, it's me who manages them. It's me that you're talking to. So I will see your message and I will figure out how to get your advice into the episode. So without further ado, let's figure out if we can help this girl.
Hi, Sid. I'm one of your followers. This is my second time doing it because I talked too long last time, but I'm going to make it quick and detailed. I'm 25 and I was dating a guy that was 28. I broke up with him because he called another girl a slut, a whore, and a bimbo. He did it drunk, and then he did it when he was sober. And I said, we had a conversation about it, and I was like, I'm not okay with that. You know, we moved on. We had a really deep conversation like a week after, and it like helped me realize like why he maybe acts this way towards women because of his upbringing. And then a couple weeks go by, and he's with his friends without me and his friend's girlfriend, and he tells them part of the story and how I got upset that he called this girl a bimbo but forgot to leave, just happened to leave out that he called her a slut and a whore. And they all told him I was overreacting, and he told me multiple times, you're overreacting, like, you're being so ridiculous. He was just poking the bear, and, like, ultimately I broke up with him because of it. And when I've been, like, telling my family members why I broke up with him, like, because he called this girl a slut and a whore and a bimbo, sometimes I get, like, scares. And I'm like, am I crazy? Was I overreacting? Like, if this man can't respect other women, he's not going to respect me. Am I in the wrong? Like, was I overreacting? I feel like in my heart of hearts, if I'm not upset about it, really, and, like, I'm okay, but I know my boundary is you don't say that. That's all that matters. I need your help. Okay. Thank you, sis. Love you. Bye.
Okay. So hopefully you guys heard that. That one is a weird one. I feel like it's really awkward, right? Like, I don't see anybody that I've dated, or hopefully anyone that I've dated. And I think actually now that I'm thinking about it, there's probably one or two, but calling people sluts and bimbos. And I wish I understood more of the situation of like, those are really hard words. I think we've been guilty in college and early high school saying like someone's acting like a slut. You've heard our guy friends say that. I feel like I've heard my guy friends say that a long time ago. We've really reclaimed those words, I feel like, as ladies and empowering. And I feel like it's classless to call someone a slut or a bimbo and make women feel stupid talking down to women. The reason I brought this up in a people-pleasing episode is because this girl is debating not breaking up with him and debating if her gut is wrong just because other people are like, oh, you're overreacting. It's like, honey, even if you were, that's your opinion. That's your decision. That is your boyfriend. You get to decide whatever you want. If that's too much for you, if that situation is too nasty and you're like, actually, that's not for me at all. This is too much. That actually was my red flag, is people calling people names. Then that is your red flag and you get to be done. No questions asked. Even other situations I've heard of that friends broke up with their significant others for, and some of them don't even have a reason. That's enough of a reason for them to be done with them. That is enough of the reason. Do not question your situation and what your wants are because other people tell you you shouldn't, right? That is my biggest takeaway from this. Number two takeaway is, why is he calling women bimbos and sluts? Like, who are you to have that weird energy towards females? And I don't understand the situation. I don't know if he was talking about somebody that really wasn't, and it's even more alarming. Like, they don't, maybe they're just somebody who like broke up, got out of a relationship and hooked up with somebody or something. Like, I don't know who he's talking about, you know, like, and I have no comparison in the situation, but I just don't like that at all. And I'm with you, girl. And friends, sometimes I think deflect situations onto other people. So let's say their boyfriend has a really bad potty mouth and he has said some nasty things about women before or about that girl. And they, you know, you bring it up in a group setting and you say, we actually got in a really big fight. I almost ended things with him because of this. And they're like, well, that's not a big deal, because sometimes people lie to themselves in terrible situations to make their heart feel safer, to make themselves feel like they're not in something that's so negative that it's going to hurt themselves. They literally create like a fake boundary of like, well, that's okay, right? It's okay, right? Like looking around like, it's okay because that person does it to me. When in reality, none of the situation is okay. So make your own decisions about it. I'm going to leave it there. If you've got any comments on this, I will leave a poll up on the Spotify to say, is she overreacting or is she not? Because in my mind, my vote would be she's not overreacting, but I'd love to hear what you guys think. Leading me into the last little bit of the episode, I wanted to talk about how to stop people pleasing and like what I do. And I made a list. It ended up being a list of 8 things. I think at first it was like 25. And I tried to group them together to make them a little bit more digestible because I think it's helpful. And I hope that you're getting something out of this. And I hope you're maybe taking notes. And if you've got a journal, I would probably pull it out right now because here are my reminders of how to stop people pleasing. 2 write-ins from listeners said, I gave that shit up years ago and never looked back on people pleasing. This person said, this year, I'm skipping family holidays this year because this obligation does not align with my values. So, 1, slow down and think for yourself, especially for my girls who answer without giving their second thought or having an opinion on the situation. People pleasing with friends saying, oh yeah, I agree. No, I agree. Or, oh, that sounds really good. I'll go there. Or, at work, yeah, I can totally do that. When you are asked a question and you're starting to get flustered and your anxiety starts to spew, slow down, take a breath, think about it for a second and decide what your actual opinion on the situation is. If you don't want to pick a fight, that is fine, but don't agree just to agree because then you're confusing. And then you also might be that middleman friend that agrees with whoever you're hanging out with. And you don't want to be that person either, or that person at work that says yes to too many tasks and can't deliver. If you are at work or a situation that's not a friend, say maybe, hey, I need a second to think on this and let me let you know in the next hour or two. If you need that space and time, create it for yourself. 2, stop walking all over your feelings and not other feelings. Why are we walking all over ourselves? Makes no sense. Being an empath is only so good when you are relating, not walking all over yourself. If you are ruining the situation for yourself, you are not helping anybody. If you are unhappy, you are not helping anybody. What is the one pet peeve that most of us have? Lying. If you are lying and you are saying, no, I'd love to be there, when in reality you wouldn't, and you're going to show up with a half-assed smile on your face, you are not showing up as your full, true, authentic self. You are probably not showing up as the energy you want to show up, and people will be able to read that. And why be there if you're going to be half-assing it and you're feeling like, oh my God, I really don't want to be here. You know what I mean? Like, show up. Slow down, stop walking all over your own feelings for other feelings for the purpose of not hurting other people because it's not good for you. We don't need to feel bad all the time. We can feel bad for ourselves when we walk all over ourselves and overbook ourselves, but do not walk all over yourself in order to make other people happy. 3, schedule your time and be serious about it. Don't delete the meeting that says workout in the morning because somebody else wants to grab a coffee. Don't delete the meeting in the afternoon that says make dinner by myself because it's your time that you had for yourself planned because someone wants to get together or they need you for something. Be a little bit more diligent about your time, scheduling it like for real on your calendar, especially working out because that's a stressor that I'll talk about in a second. Be diligent about that and do not fill the gaps. Every single gap on your calendar does not need to be filled. Just put those things on your calendar that you're like, I really cannot work around this. I really have to work around this. What am I saying? Really have to work around this. I want to be there. I want to do this. If it is on your calendar and it is important to you, do not make an excuse for, well, I could just move it to this day. And all of a sudden you've pushed off getting your, let's say, Christmas presents for like months and weeks, and now you're late and maybe the Christmas presents will be there for Christmas and it's important to you because your love language is gift giving, like things like that. Like, don't get rid of it because it's going to help somebody else see you or spend time with you when in the back of your mind, you're hanging out with them and you're like, I could be getting something done that I had wanted to get done tonight. Like, that's not showing up as your best self. So don't do that either. 4, don't say why to say why. Don't give an explanation if it's not needed. Like, for instance, my people pleasing days, I would say, let's say someone said, do you want to come to my my pregame tonight? Like, we're having a pregame. And I would say, like, I can't because I have all of these things going on and I have to do this before this and I don't really feel like going out and all these things and whatever. Don't say why if it's not necessary. If your answer is, I'm sorry, I can't make it tonight. Perfect. Great. You know that you won't be there. You're not committing to anything or overcommitting to anything. You're not people pleasing and going just because you feel like your friend wants you there when in reality you don't feel like drinking. Just say no. Just say no and start saying no. 5, would I be mad about this test? So it's a test that I do in my head. And if the answer is no, it's not my problem. So for instance, I got invited to a dinner party of friends that I don't really know or hang out with a whole lot. And I was like, would I be mad if someone I invited to a dinner party at my house, I didn't really know them very well, said no? No, I wouldn't be mad. I would not be mad. Why would I care why they're not coming? Why would I be pissed that they're busy or maybe they don't want to be there, but all I know is that they're busy. Why would I be mad about that? No. So why can I not do the same? I love this little test because it helps me realize like, oh my God, I am being a people pleaser. Like I'm struggling with that. 6, time management to remove stress. If you can't buffer in 30 minutes, you will not be on time and you will start being stressed about it. Like for instance, if you've got a concert you're going to go to, but you said to your friend you were going to work out before, and now you've got a 30-minute gap to not only get home, shower, change, get ready, and drive back to the location that you're meeting at. And that is not 30 minutes, my friend. Don't even lie to yourself that it is. Then you probably shouldn't be doing that. And you're going to create more stress for yourself. You're going to be late. And again, people pleasing. Say what you mean. 7, set boundaries with your friends by saying what you mean. Try it. Similar to my 1, like slow down and taking time to actually get your opinion. Saying what you mean will help you in the end. If you don't mean, oh yeah, I agree with you, try practicing saying it. Say it, and that little tiny uncomfortable feeling in your tummy, worried about the reaction of the friend or the family member that you're talking to, it all of a sudden was like, oh, it just passed. It's all good. And then now you'll start to gain that confidence of like, okay, I've done it once. I can say what I mean. If you're at a family gathering and someone says something inappropriate and you're like, I don't really love when we say that, or I really want to change the topic. Having that like say what you mean energy, you're probably saving it for other people who are not saying what they mean to. So just FYI, when you're thinking about that at a family gathering coming up, because your family's kind of cuckoo bananas, know that most people's families are cuckoo bananas too. Finally, with work, I just wanted to add one more in for work 8. Write down your work and how long it takes you to do, especially if you've been working late every single night. You need to admit to that. No one is expecting you to work after hours and they may not even know that you are. So just remember that, like make sure you're being very, very open and honest, especially in one-on-ones. And if you don't have a one-on-one with your boss, add it now on the calendar. Do not stray away from a one-on-one to get a line, but write it down and say, hey, I'm realizing I'm working 2 hours more than I really like have capacity to do. I think I need support on this X project, or I need help reprioritizing my time. Which project should I move down my ladder of priorities? Because I feel like I don't know which one to work on and I'm overworking and I'm stressing myself out. And I don't want to feel stressed because then I can't show up as my best self. Tell me why that would bother someone. That would not bother anybody. Tell me why now that you saying yes to a project and not delivering on time would bother somebody. Think about it. All right. I just have a little bonus one here too. I said, if it puts financial strain on you, be creative and don't feel bad. If you have financial strain because you got asked to go to dinner with somebody, eat before, get an app maybe, or just a water. Maybe don't drink, be smart. Or if it's going to completely put you in a wonky situation, do not go and be honest. Say, hey, I really don't have the time and money to go out right now. I'm really bummed. I would love to host you for dinner if you want to bring the pasta and I'll cook the XYZ and be creative. Now you just saved money and you made your friend feel a little bit more special. And cooking is so much more intimate with people, I think, than going out to dinner. That's my 2 cents on people pleasing. That's what I would do. I feel like it's so important to actually sit and reflect on people pleasing, especially around this time around the holidays. You need to be careful and mindful, especially around family if you're a people pleaser.
Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK, Cygnos.
That you're not just doing it and saying things because you're used to that and because you don't want to create turmoil. I'm not asking anybody to create fights with people. I'm not asking anybody to have an argument with their weird uncle, like great uncle or something, the one that always acts a little funky at the dinner party, whatever. I'm just asking you to be true to yourself and set boundaries for yourself so that you can live a happier life, like truly. I'm sitting here feeling much happier about myself, feeling much more grounded in who I am, and knowing that my friends actually know who I am, what I think, and my opinion on things. So, and I'm not overworked. I'm sitting here in the middle of the day on a Sunday, not overcommitted, finishing my episode because I needed to do this for me because it would stress me out if I didn't get it done. So I love you all. Remember that you can always call me. You can always text me. Remember, if you are international, the number does not work. So use the link in my bio to get advice. I've got fun episodes coming up for you. Have a happy Thanksgiving if that's something that you celebrate. Use your control, your people-pleasing skills. And one last reminder about Thanksgiving. You are not working out for Thanksgiving. That is a misnomer. That is misleading. If any fitness provider or fitness leader, anybody that you're going to in classes says, work off that Thanksgiving meal or work out so you can indulge in splurge, you are not working off your Thanksgiving meal. You are indulging and enjoying a wonderful meal that your family has made. And on the side, completely separate from that, you are working out. It is not correlated. You are allowed to have good meals. You're allowed to have meals that are maybe more diverse on the plate than your usual. You don't need to be prepared to work it off or anything like that. Remember, that is not good for your mental health. So I appreciate you. Thank you for supporting. I know we're only 4 episodes in, but we've got a ton of episodes coming, including like a naturopath, a career leader, a nutritionist, someone who has a spinal cord injury, people in health and wellness, sex expert, relationship expert, love language expert. We've got a trainer. I mean, you name it, it's coming up. Someone from two people from The Bachelorette are coming up. People with different perspective. Bottom line, if you're walking away from one of my episodes, I hope to God you learned something, you took something away, or you felt like you were related to. I love you. Appreciate you for being here because it means the world to me. Have a wonderful day.